Good evening. It's a joy to be an honor, and it was an honor for me to share with you God's word today, especially on this particular passage. In the whole book of Ecclesiastes, this passage must be my favorite for a few reasons. Number one is when you look at this passage, you cannot help but feel young. Because if you can feel yourself convicted every time you hear the verse, the famous verse, remember your creator in the days of your youth, if you still feel convicted, good news for you, you're still young. The second reason is because traditionally in the Boys Brigade, I'm formerly from 10th Kuala Lumpur Company Boys Brigade, and I'm currently still the state chaplain of Boys Brigade in Selangor. Traditionally, yes, the motto of the Boys Brigade is to be sure and steadfast. But the phrase that the founder, Sir William Alexander Smith, had wanted to give to the young people is to know thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The very purpose of that great ministry, I'm biased, of course, of this great ministry is that they must know their Creator. Otherwise, Captain Lee Han sweating his butt off and while we are in this air-conditioned hall, if all of that and they still don't know their Creator in the days of their youth, it's all for nothing. And finally, of course, it is the final cry of the Koheleth. Now, of course, I'm glad to see a fellow friend and brother in ministry, Nick Gagne. Next week, he will be talking about the summary of Ecclesiastes that is from the last part of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But this is the last you will hear of the Koheleth. This is the last that you will hear of this great teacher. And he, as if he's about to exit off stage, exit off life, exit off this long lecture that we've gone through, he now gives these parting advice in summary of it all in his own very words. So, two warnings I want to give to you first. Number one is, if you had thought that this message, because it's just for young people, I don't need to be involved. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the case. The reason why is because the Koheleth would probably have been talking to a group like us, mixed ages, you know, from young adults all the way to middle age to those who are Waga Emas and those who are Waga Platinum coming soon or so, you know. He was talking to all of us. Because he was talking to all of us. And secondly, you will notice in the structure, if I had started from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, then yeah, it would say, okay, young people, know your Creator. But the context, which I will read later from 11, verse 7, he talks about life, and then he gives youth as an example. So let's gather together around this example and let it resonate in our hearts. Let us all be young today. Let us all be young today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are young today. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you look young today. You know? We are all young before the Koheleth, because Koheleth is the personification of wisdom, and wisdom is ageless. And so we compare to the almighty wisdom of Almighty God. We are all very young. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the text first. Three very simple points based on the one statement, remember your Creator, and then we get into application. Let's hear the word of God. It's from the Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. I shall be reading from the NIV. Let us hear what Holy Scripture says. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, the man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. This is the word of the Lord. Father God, we come before you. It is your breath that fills our lungs. And so we respond by praising you. And now, O God, as you yourself, your breath, give us your words, we pray that it will transform our very lives. Let your word, O God, go forth through your servant. Let it not be his wisdom, let it be yours. Speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I went a bit ahead of myself, but let me just say the first point of remember your Creator is remember your Creator before you forget Him. Remember your Creator before you forget Him. Again, the Koheleth gives a very nice summary, where he says, light is sweet and pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him join them all. Let him remember the days of darkness, but they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. So with the Koheleth, we've been going through a roller coaster of emotions. Life is meaningless. No, life is good. Life is great. Life is great. No, life is horrible. You know, Manchester versus United versus Liverpool, my life is ruined, whichever one is going to win. You know, because I'm an Arsenal fan, so it doesn't matter to me tonight. Life is but a roller coaster. But in that roller coaster, when there are times in our lives where we feel that our heart will be choking at our throat because we got so shocked, when our heart stoops down to near our gut because we are so depressed or anxious about something, when our heart suddenly feels very light because Chap Gome, a few weeks ago, we threw an orange down the river, someone actually gave you a phone call. Life, light is sweet. Life is meant to be enjoyed. So friends, the Koheleth first says, life on earth is to be enjoyed. But, life on earth also has sufferings. We must acknowledge this, friends. And here is the beautiful part about suffering. Yes, suffering does have some beauty. And that is this, what we suffer for will therefore bring out the most joyous beauty. If things in life were easy, we wouldn't be doing anything really. But because things are worth fighting for, working for, toiling for, as Queen Elizabeth II once said, grief is the price we pay for love. It's no wonder that love is so sweet, for grief is so bitter. So life on earth will have suffering. And so therefore, we need to have a balance. And to give a balance, the Koheleth brings in the young person. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So for an example to youth, your life with all your energy and might that God has given you, enjoy it, experience it. But do so with moderation. Do so with moderation as God will hold you accountable. So in this roller coaster life, on the bright side of things, life is meant to be maximized, utilized to the best of your ability. But do so in moderation. Do so with accountability, because one day we will be accountable towards the one that gave us this life. So then banish away from your heart and cast off troubles of your body, for your youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. So the result of having that balance of enjoying the life, using that life, utilizing that life, we must also do it in moderation. We are not to live, therefore, in fear. We are to live, actually, with some boldness. Live with the ability and wanting to live daringly, but also accountably. Take into account every day of our lives. Maximize, use that life. But use and maximize that life, not just for our own selfish contention, but for what God has planned for each and every one of us. What helps is that we remember God before you. So the ultimate advice we see is remember God before you forget Him in the midst of pain or pleasure. You know, I've learned, especially going through Ecclesiastes a couple of times actually, and one thing I learned is this: we will more likely forget about God in our pleasure time than actually in our times of pain. It is actually in times of pain that we gather together, encourage one another in the Lord. Pleasurable times, in happy times, we tend to forget about Him. Don't believe me? Just ask anyone who just come back from Thailand. How much of the time do they actually give for devotion, for thinking, or thanking God for the beautiful paddy fields? Or are you just enjoying the shopping of the multiple levels of the shopping mall and all the food that is so cheap and so delicious and so wonderful? You enjoy it all, but you forget about God. What's the point? And so one test that I gave before, and it's good to reflect it again. Let's say you have some control of your life. Okay, let's say you have some control of your life. You have two choices. One is that you can live until you're 40 years old, but it will be a time in paradise. You will live every day in paradise, but you only get to live until you're 40 years old. That's one end. On another side is that you get to live until you're 90. You get to have a wife, children, you get to have a full family life experience. See your children to the third generation. See your offspring to the third generation. But you are confined to a clean environment. You must stay in a house where there are HEPA filters, water filters, internet filters, all kinds of filters, lah. You know, that you need to use that. Hey, for some of us, internet filters kill us because we want to see some things which we don't want to see, which we don't want other people to see. You know, so we feel that it's the shortness of life. So you need to live all of that, but you only get to live, and if you get to live until you're 90 years old, but you live very confined, which would you choose? A prolonged life of normalness and limitations, or a paradise of a life, but only until you're 40? Which would you choose? I'm not going to take a vote. You think about it. Think about it. You live until you're 40 years old, but that means what? You know, no family, children. You just get to live and see the world. On another side, you can have a family, you can settle, you have a home, you have no choice, you got to stay in that home until you're 90 years old. Now let's step back a little bit and let me ask you this question. Why isn't it that easy to choose either or? What makes life so difficult to try and choose either or and strive so hard to fulfill it only to possibly fail? The reason is because we assume we have control for the number of years that we have on this earth. Some of us live until a ripe old age, but perhaps we're seeing a lot of grief and sadness. Some of our friends who had suddenly had to go. 20-something years old, in a horrible car accident or in a freak accident, that life was about to flourish, only to be taken away. That's what life is like here on this earth. And the reason because of that, Jesus brought this matter up, that there is an entity out there that is seeking to prevent us from being able to understand the fullness of life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But through Christ, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So, the paradox here is this. We cannot choose the number of years that we can live on this earth. But we can choose how we fill up those years. So remember your Creator before you forget Him. Now, what does a full life look like if you don't know how long you can live and you don't have a full control as to where you want to live, when you want to live, and how much, how comfortable of a life? Well, let me give you a very simple story. This boy here, I forgot his name already, Mark Verner, if I'm right. I don't know his name is Verner. Verner is actually the first ever recorded child with severe combined immunodeficiency, SCID. He is actually famously known as the Bubble Boy. When he was born, the parents noticed very early on that he was having a lot of issues in trying to even breathe. And so they quickly put him in an incubated place. He lived in an environment where he had to have special filters, where he could not be touched by his own parents. You see the picture over here? He is six years old, and NASA finally was able to design a suit for him so that he can walk around more freely. And this is actually the first time his mother was able to pick him up like a normal kid. Anytime that the mom wants to reach out to the child, he must wear that glove, must try and pick up, and can only handle with much limitations. Until finally this day, he was able to be picked up because he had this special suit. He only was able to live until he was 13 years old. They knew he's not going to make it through his 13th birthday. So on his birthday, the diagnosis looks bad. He is already fading away. In those years, the boy and the parents allowed doctors to observe him every day so that they can learn more about SCID. A reporter came up to him and asked him, "You're 12 years old, 13 years old, and you are going to die. Don't you feel it's a little unfair?" You know what he said? He said, "I started life badly in the first place. To be able to live so long, it's a grace. And in these short years, I learned the love of a mom. I learned the power of God. I learned the wonders of technology. And I pray that my life will be able to help other children live." Because of him, many children can overcome this SCID and be able to live a prolonged life. Friends, did this boy not live life to the full, even though such short years? So where actually is the crux of living life to the full if we cannot control the years and we cannot control the situation in our lives? Well, one thing we can control is we can control our awe and wonder of God. We can allow ourselves to think in the angle of God, to remember Him, to remember Him before He fades away in our memory, to remember Him before our everyday challenges and our major issues in our lives starts creeping in. If we can remember Him, we can actually also remember how awesome and how wondrous is God Almighty. Like a little child, I invite all of us to be like that, to be like a little child, to just be in awe and wonder the things which God has made. And finally, as we mature and as we come to read His scriptures, we also must bear in awe and in wonder of Him who had died for us on the cross. This is a wonder to behold, that this is God's love for us. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. We are all destined to die for the wrong that we have done and the right that we did not do. But the gift of God is eternal, awesome life through Jesus Christ. Remember your Creator before you forget Him. So before you forget Him, live in awe of Him. Allow Him to come into your everyday life and let Him give you a perspective of life every day, to not just be able to endure the day, but to also even give thanks for the day. So remember your Creator before you forget Him. Remember your Creator before you fade away. Remember your Creator before you fade away. Now, the next part of the text is quite long and it's full of imagery and allegory of aging, of decaying. So let's look at it in parts. The first part I would like us to see is before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. Now, does the sun get less and less dark as we grow older? No, the sun has been constantly bright, especially today, especially hot. The moon continues to remain bright every day, no matter how long we've recorded it. But if that is true, what is actually fading? Our eyesight. So remember your Creator before you fade away. The Kohelet says, remember your Creator before your eyes cannot even see the wonders of the sun or the moon of which God had put you under. The next one is, remember your Creator before the sun, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. Again, it is this imagery where cities... Normally you will have these regular sounds, okay? For them is knife grinding or chisel grinding because they do that to sharpen their tools. When the keepers of the house tremble, so when the guards and security stop, when strong men, builders of a house, they begin to stoop down, before the grinders cease, because they are few, they're getting less and less, and when those looking through the windows grow dim, meaning the windows stop because it could be two possibilities. One is either the windows stop cleaning themselves, okay, because no one is there to clean it, or again, it's another imagery of eyes before our windows to which we see this world fades away. Remember your Creator before you individually and us as a community fade. We have seen cities come up and go down. This picture here is actually Chernobyl. So we see how time actually takes over and causes the city to slowly disappear into the rest of the world. The world, or the earth, in comparison to our lives, the world will continue to go around the sun. The world will continue to rotate and we'll have day and night. But for us, we have a limitation. Not because everything will stop. But most likely, in the eyes of the Koheleth, we will first cease. We and our lives will stop. Will cease to live. My favorite one is this. Remember when the doors or to the street are closed, when the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, and by all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred. So we can see this aging process even in the very person. We wake up and last time we used to hear the bird songs, but you're wondering, hey, how come the songs are singing softer and softer? It's not the birds are singing softer and softer, it's your ears are getting more and more deaf. It is not that the sun is getting less and less bright, it is our eyes that are failing. And my favorite one is, let me see, the man goes to his eternal house and mourners go about the streets. Where is it? When the almond tree blossoms. I always wonder what it means by almond tree blossoms. It's probably because I never saw how an almond tree looks like when the flowers blossom. That is an almond tree. What color are the flowers? So this is, of course, talking about our crown of glory one day when our hair turned all gray. So remember God before you fade away, before the almond tree blossoms. Almond tree blossoms when all the hair, when all the leaves and goes off and the flowers come out white. And after an almond tree blossoms, do you know what it means when almond tree to blossom? No more almond fruit, no more almond nuts. So therefore it is going to die. Now, of course, we have almond trees in our lives that we thought will be there forever that will also fade away. The image of a person we've worked so hard to sculpt ourselves, make ourselves beautiful, tends to fade away. I think, for me, the two biggest shockers, one, of course, is Arnold Schwarzenegger from being Mr. Universe to being big mass over there. And of course, MacGyver. I think a lot of us remember MacGyver in our weekend episode binging, and this is him today. My, how the image has changed. My, how the almond tree did blossom. And what we try to do in order to prevent ourselves from fading away is that we will try and look beautiful. We will put hair extensions. We will dye our hair. We'll put on makeup. We start early in the morning by preparing ourselves to look good. Only by the end of the day, we come back home looking more like this. Same person, huh? Same person. We will fade away. We try and make our lives look good, literally look good. It may not be by makeup. It may be by a new handphone, a new car, you know, a new gaming system for those who are still into that, for a bigger screen TV, for more time to be able to go and watch movies on the IMAX cinema. We will try and make things more youthful and more vibrant, but it will fade away. If we're honest enough, if we wipe out the makeup of our face, we will look more like our passport photos than we actually do in our pre-planned pre-shots or Instagrams or Weefies. The scary thing about Instagram is this. Most photos, if not all the photos that you see on Instagram, are them in their best days. You seldom see them in their worst. So while the world is trying to tell us, you know, you can be immortal, you can stay young, life takes us and reminds us, remember your Creator before you fade away. How can we bear an image that will not fade away? We remember then in Genesis, what was God's intention for His image? So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. The best thing then we can do is to bear the image of God in our lives. As we think and reflect about Him, let us also live as He calls us, live as He commands us, live as He ordains us to live. Then we will bear an image that will last forever. When you go back home today, take a longer look in the mirror and ask yourself, what sort of image are you living on? What sort of image are you portraying? And will it last? We are called to portray an image that will last forever, the image of God. We forgot about Him. Thanks be to God through Christ who reminds us to return back to Him and to bear His image once again. So remember your Creator before you forget Him. Remember your Creator before you fade away. So in application, live in awe of Him, live in His image. And lastly, remember your Creator before you face Him. The first two points assumes that life is all we have to bear and be responsible of. But one day we will go up to Almighty God and bear all things before Him. So remember your Creator before you face Him. The text says this, remember Him verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So in application, see, even my eyes are fading away. I can't even see what's on the screen. What are these imagery? These imageries are items that are supposed to be life-lasting. Remember in the 70s and 80s when they were giving out lifetime warranties for a lot of things? Now we don't see them so much because things that we buy are not meant to last so long. I think only Leatherman. Leatherman is a multi-tool company that promises 25 years warranty. They're the only ones that still do that, I think. Other than that, you probably get a one-year warranty, two-year warranty. So things that you thought would last forever, your Panasonic air conditioning, your rice cooker, or what, you think it will last forever? No, it will fade away. So this is the imagery that the Kohelet is saying. Things that the silver cord is not meant to break. Why? Because it's silver. It's not supposed to rust. The golden bowl was not meant to crack. Why? Because gold does not decay. It does not rust. So it should not break. But in time, all these things will break. Now, for the other items, the wheel at the well. Yeah, the wheel, okay, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel is broken at the well. So these things are an imagery of those everyday items that you normally see in order for a city in those ancient times to last and thrive. You know, because for them, actually nowadays, if you live in certain areas in Petaling Jaya and Klang Valley now, you probably will have water cuts. And so today you live according to the old-fashioned days where you have to go somewhere and fill up your bottles with water. They had to do that every day. Now, if the pitcher at the spring is broken, guess what happens? It gets replaced almost immediately. Why? Because it's needed every day. The wheel at the well where you pull out the bucket is broken. Guess what? It gets repaired almost immediately. Why? Because it's needed every day. One of these days, it will be broken and no one will repair it. Why? Because no one is there. Think about that for a minute. The traffic lights, the traffic lights, the street lamps, the post office system, Telecom Malaysia. One day, the whole unified system will break down because nobody will be there to use it in the first place, let alone nobody will be there to maintain it. And what we thought we owned will be returned to God. And the dust returned to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. What we thought we had possession of, what we thought that we can keep for all eternity, in the end, even our very soul, which we actually are very accustomed to, will one day go to Almighty God. So the idea of the golden bowl and the silver cord, these things you thought will last forever will break away. The things that you're going to live, the things that you need on an everyday basis breaks down. And even the things that you depend on for everyday life or your own identity, your job, your career, your namesake, your pride, it will one day fade away. Jesus said it very clearly in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, Christ is actually giving us a reflection question here. What are you depending on to last forever? And will it truly last? Where are you storing your treasures? Which then leads to the question, where is your heart? Is your heart fixated into things that will one day just fade away? Things that you hope to be able to take with you, are you able to one day bring it up? Your keepsakes, your valuables, you know, for coming from a Chinese cultural background, when a person dies, we would tend to put little tokens, you know, little tokens and things, thinking that, you know, we let the dead bring it along with them. Will it really bring along with them? No, it will decay with the rest of the body. He or she will go to a mighty God, and so will we. The clothes that we wear will be eaten off, before a mighty God in the image which he had made us in the first place. But the question is, at the moment, where's our heart? Where you treasure the most, that's where your heart most likely is. And will it last? John Piper, he once said, treasuring life above Christ is a tragedy. So what's your life like? Do you treasure your life so much above Christ and hope that it will outlive Christ, who rose again from the dead, who is now going to rule for all eternity? Can we outlive that? No, we can't outlive that. But we can live with him. He had invited us. So remember your Creator before you face him. So friends, three applications, very simple. Remember your Creator before you forget him. And one way to not forget him is to live in awe of him. Don't just go to him when you are needing of something. Go to him when you are thankful for something. Remember your Creator before you fade away. Live in his image. Live in the image which he has called us to bear. And we can only do that when we come face to face to Christ every day. Surely then we will not fade away. We buried Billy Graham last week. And of course, in our WhatsApp and in Facebook, we see this famous quote which he has said before. He says, one day you're going to hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't believe in such lies. I have not died. I've just gone home. I've gone back to the everlasting life which God has promised through his son Jesus, and you can have that too. Remember your Creator before you fade away from this earth. And finally, remember your Creator before you face him. Live without waste. The final cry of the Koheleth, to summarize everything, he says this, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Why did he end it this way? He ended this way for us to be able to hook everything that he just said. And so when we remember the words, Hevel, Hevel, life is just a mist. Life is short. Life goes by quickly. If we don't grab it by the ears and ride on it every day, it will go to waste. So remember your Creator before you forget, before you fade, and before one day you face him. John Piper, again, he says this, life is precious. Life is precarious and life is precious. Don't presume that you will have it tomorrow, and don't waste it today. Friends, what are you doing with your life? Hevel, hevel. Life is short. What are you doing with it? Let's pray. We are among friends, so today I've asked that you would take this time in honest reflection to a very simple question. What are you doing with your short life? Are you wasting it thinking that you have another day to live? Or are you living in fear, thinking one day that you will truly fade away and disappear? Friends, don't be afraid, because it is true, we will fade away from this earth unless we allow God to take over our lives, to let his image shine in us, and through him we shall have life eternal. Are you trying to add value to your own lives today, friend? Are you trying to add value by buying things to make you feel more able, capable? Or are you trying to live life as long and as comfortable as you can? What are you doing with your life? Life is precarious. Life is precious. Don't waste it thinking you have tomorrow, and utilize whatever moment you have today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the life that you give us. We remember those who had finished their time on this earth, however long or however short. In that, O God, we reflect on how life really is havel, how life really is a mist, how life really is short, and it goes by so quickly. But God, we want to give you thanks that through you and through your Son Jesus, we may have life, and life to the full, life abundantly, life eternal through your Son Jesus. So God, while sin and evil decay, rots and decays this world, breaks down this world, Father, we ask that through your Son Jesus, you will revive our very hearts, and we may be revived to eternal life, and life to the full, and life with you. So that, Lord, we will not depend on everyday things that we assume to be working every day, or even the precious things of God, we will just put it away because it fades away compared to the beautiful image of your Son Jesus, who loves us so much he is willing to die for us. How can it be that the giver of all life will have his life forfeit, that the bread of life will go hungry, that the living water will go thirsty, that the king becomes a prisoner, where the just gets punished, where the giver of all life would die and die for us. Oh God, I give thanks to you because that it does not end there, but it only begins when we see your life eternal in ours. So God, come into our lives again. Let us stand in awe of your power, your might, and your love. Let us remember to bear that image which you have placed in us to last forever. And when we face you, O God, it will not be in fear or tremble, but it will be with thanks for the life that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus, in whose precious name we pray.